And welcome to the September PodMag, the audio news magazine from Arts and Social Sciences at the Open University. I'm Karen Foley, and in this edition, I'm talking to Georgina Blakely, Alison Green, and Nikki Harlow. For many students, it's time to start studying in early October. Whether you are studying for the first time or beginning a new module, we often have ideas about things we're going to do. Sometimes it's ideas about what good studying should look like, or perhaps it's things that we've struggled with and are determined to do differently. Like many resolutions, these can be tricky to identify and stick with, so I challenged Georgina Blakely to give us her top 5 tips. Keeping it manageable and realistic, she came back with 4, and this is what they were. Georgina Blakely, I wanted to ask you about students approaching module start. We all think, okay, new module, new start, let's do something different. And I've had a lot of these ideas in my time, some of which I have and haven't completed. I wonder if you could give us some of the most common tips or things that you've heard from students about things that they might do differently, that they have a chance of doing this module start.
Well, I think it's all too easy to fall into the trap of just thinking, yes, this time I'm going to be more organised, I'm not going to procrastinate, I'm going to get things done. And none of those things then happen by week 3, and you feel that you've failed, and that then kind of takes its toll. So I've been thinking about this and what advice I would kind of give either to myself as a student or to other students out there. And I've come up with the following.
Good.
The first one is to not compare yourself to anybody else. And by that I mean it's all too easy, particularly with forums and Facebook, to think everybody else is more confident, everybody else is getting far higher scores than you are, everybody else is far ahead in the module. And I think you have to remember that the only person you're competing against is yourself. Mm. Yeah, and you will have your own goals, so stick to those. That goal might simply be getting 5 more marks than you did last time. Or if you're a new student, you haven't studied for 20 years, it might simply be finishing your assignment and getting it in on time. And I think you really have to kind of hold on to that sense of who you are and compete against your own self, not what you think everybody else is doing. Nobody gets 80s or 90s all the time. And if you're starting off, in a sense, the mark is not important. I know it feels like it's the most important thing, but it really isn't. And a big achievement for one student might simply be posting on the forum, because you're filled with lack of confidence and you're scared to put yourself out there and what are people going to say, and you might have put something that you think is really silly. But actually doing that for the first time is a huge sense of achievement, as big as getting a 90 or an 80 or whatever marks you happen to be getting.
That's great advice, Georgina. What is your next tip?
It's something that tutors say all the time, and it's very easy to say and much harder to do. And that is to engage really positively, really constructively with the feedback that your tutor will give you on every assignment. It's human nature that the first thing that you do is look at the mark, and then you're either absolutely ecstatic or totally disappointed. So, okay, look at the mark, that's fine. Then go away and think about it, you know. Make yourself a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, and then come back and look at the feedback. And you really need to set aside time to do this. You can't just skim it and do it in 10 minutes. And sit down, take notes. What does your tutor say that was good? What did you do well? Because there will be things in there, even if you got a low mark, that you actually did well. Make a list of those. Then make a list of the areas that you need to work on. And perhaps pick one or two of those just to focus on for your next TMA. And I think if you start to do that and really think of it as your tutor trying to help you, you know, they're not out to make you feel small, they're not out to be really hypercritical, they really want you to pass. So if you look at it in that way, I think it's much more helpful than thinking, oh dear, I've done so many things wrong, what am I going to do? And don't think, oh, you know, there's 10 things that I need to work on. That's really hard to do. Think realistically and think, well, okay, I'll work on these 2 for the next TMA and see if I get these much better, see if my tutor notices and says, oh yes, there is an improvement there. And then pick the next 2. Yeah, so tiny steps forward.
Lovely. What's your third tip?
Learn to ask others for help. And that may generally be your tutor. That's often your first port of call. But it could also be other students. And that might entail going on the forum and having the confidence to ask those questions. There is no such thing as a silly question. All questions are valid.
So what do you mean by help then?
It could be support with finding things. It could be support with understanding a particular concept or particular study materials that you're struggling with. It could be technical help, any kind of sort of help. People learn in different ways and they require different types of support. So what works for one student might not necessarily work for another. But I think what most students have in common is that they feel that if they're asking for support, if they're asking for help, it's almost like asking for a favour, or they're asking for special support that's not being given to other students. It's not like that at all. All students at some point of their studies, no matter how successful they've been, will need some kind of support. And that's part of being a student.
What is your final piece of advice?
I couldn't resist one. This one, it's don't procrastinate. We all do it and we know that we're doing it. So yes, you know, you go on Facebook and see what people are doing, go on the forum, have a chat. But if you've really got a chapter to read, then going on the forum isn't going to help you to read the chapter necessarily. You're still going to have to sit down there and do the hard work. So recognise when you're doing it and perhaps say, well, OK, I'll go on the forum for 10 minutes when I've read this section.
And I guess that, again, is why having these goals and quantifiable and achievable goals would really help people focus. That's brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Georgina Blakely.
No worries. A pleasure.
If you have some tips or thoughts on what Georgina had to say, let us know by emailing podmag@open.ac.uk. In our next interview, we focus on the faculty merger between arts and social sciences that forms part of the academic restructure of the Open University. I asked Alison Green about how this might have a positive impact on curriculum, research, and what this means for our students. Alison Green, in your new role, you are now the Associate Dean for Curriculum, Qualifications and Partnerships of the new super faculty, the Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences. This is a massive, massive job with so much opportunity and scope. Can you tell us, firstly, what you're most excited about in terms of this faculty merger?
I think for me the most exciting thing is around the opportunities that this affords us in terms of looking at new ways of working together, and those new ways of working together and how they might bring us bring forward new ideas more rapidly, which we can then translate into curriculum.
So can you give us an example then of something that you're working on?
Right, the one that I'm most excited about at the moment is it's an opportunity we're exploring in the creative industries. And the creative industries has really captured the imagination publicly, politically, I think because it's booming. I mean, we've always had in the UK, we've always had a reputation for being, you know, the UK, London, it's about design. And it's fantastic for me, I think, to see the, you know, how this translates in terms of jobs, because that's what, you know, that's what we're studying for, by and large, to get jobs for employment opportunities. So 1.9 million jobs, which is a growth of 20% in the past 5 years. And for me, the most exciting opportunity in my role looking after a vast amount of curriculum, a huge product portfolio, is thinking about how we can develop that and bring people together. And the most exciting, stimulating discussions I think I've had at the OU in recent years have been around creative industries, because everyone has an interest in that. We can all tell a story about something that we can do that contribute to that.
And of course, there's so many subject disciplines that would be relevant that could add a different perspective on that. Mm. Can you tell me then, with this new merger and with more interdisciplinary work going on at the university, how some of those conversations are flowing?
I'm starting the conversations informally, because I think it's really important to have people in groups, and we brainstorm ideas and we don't constrain thinking. We just think about, well, what can we do in this space? And at the same time, I'm having more formal discussions with our marketing team. In fact, I've just come out of one, looking at where the opportunity might be. So that's thinking about, well, what do students actually want to, you know, which areas are booming and what kinds of qualifications are they, you know, are they telling us that they actually want to study? So, for example, ones of interest are design. So I'll be having conversations very soon with colleagues over in the STEM faculty around design. But interestingly, people want to think about qualifications that enable them to do things like film studies, but also become managers. And so another really interesting idea is around managing festivals. I mean, and that sounds like such a cool thing to do. And yet there are some roles in that. And people are now developing qualifications specifically geared towards that kind of activity.
You're looking, I guess, right at the start of qualifications that will come out in maybe 5, 10, however many years, maybe even sooner at the rate the Open University
sooner.
Is going.
We really want to push forward on this soon. So this is a sort of watch this space at the moment. So we haven't got the green light yet, but this is currently where my thinking is. I think this is one of the most exciting things that I'll be doing in the next couple of years, actually.
And you did a great job with psychology.
psychology and overhauling that curriculum, which has massively changed. And we're seeing now new things like psychology and criminology coming together. So what can our students look forward to now in terms of more of an interdisciplinary focus from the OU?
Right at this moment, I think what we're looking at are qualifications that bring together different subjects. So we've done a little bit of that. We've got philosophy, politics, economics, which has been a really good example where we've brought together three disciplines. It's a classic combination and it's proving hugely popular with students. We have a new qualification in history and politics, which has just launched. So what we're doing is bringing together qualifications. But I think what we need to do is go a little bit further. So rather than just bring together modules, we're actually thinking about working in more interdisciplinary teams. I mean, we do a lot of this already in our stage one curriculum. And we're looking at ways in which we can do a little more of that because it's what we're known for. We've always been known for being cutting edge in terms of our interdisciplinary curriculum.
Alison Green, thank you so much.
Finally, we're going to take a look at what makes a good essay. Nikki Harlow is an arts tutor and a writer herself. So I asked her how essays are marked and also what advice she has for students as a writer.
Nikki Harlow, thank you for talking to me today. And I'm very glad you've managed to come into the studio because you're an English associate lecturer and you must mark a lot of essays. And I have a question, which is, how do you know an essay is good?
Well, for a start, the very simple one is that to show that you've read the question. I want the question read and answered, and I would like it to have some sort of flow to it. And I would like it to be a coherent and cogent argument that follows through to the end.
Right. So you're reading a lot of these things. Is there a difference between a coherent essay? Is one better than another? I mean, there must be different grading criteria here that you're giving to students.
Very much so. I mean, in the sort of lower grades, you would still expect a student to engage with the material. You would still expect the student to provide references and in-text citations. But for the higher grades, for the B and for the pinnacle of an A, you would expect something more. You would expect something in the writing style, a more professional writing style. You'd expect more flow. You would expect the student to have evidently set parameters for themselves, to show a focus in their arguments.
OK, so say students are writing an essay then and they're selecting from the range of, I guess, recommended sections of the module that they've been referred to in their TMA guidance. Is there a right or a wrong way of approaching an essay? Can you get a brilliant essay that uses, say, fewer pieces of evidence or more pieces of evidence? Or is there one piece of evidence that you think, oh, without that, you can't get it right? How important is that evidence in generating the essay?
Well, often there is a piece of evidence that you will absolutely need, but evidence is vital. But sometimes you don't need to cram it into your essay. You don't need to shoehorn. It must feel natural that you've made a point and this essay is evidence is illustrating that point, and that's all. You don't need to overdo it. You don't need loads of examples for one particular argument. You just need one, and it needs to be well explained. So sometimes less is more.
Now, you've just done a really useful session at the Student Hub Live and you've explained note-taking and essay writing. And some questions that students had was the difference between level one and two in terms of essay writing and what they were doing differently. Can you sum up what you think the main difference is going from level one to level two? What's different in essay writing?
I think in level two, there is a deeper level of analysis and it will be evident in essays. And I also think in level one, you will be more involved in explaining your terms, in defining the different vocabulary that you're given for your subject. So it's more about showing a basic level of understanding. In level two, you'll be going up and you will be looking in more detail at different concepts.
And what about the process and content words? Are they different at different levels?
I think they are, yes, because process and content in level one will be involved in your glossary. It will be involved in just getting to grips with your subject. In level two, you will be hit with much deeper analytical terms and you'll be going into research at a different level.
OK, so this sounds a bit scary maybe for students if they're thinking this deeper level and these different analytical terms. Can you learn this?
you can. Essay writing is a skill like any other, and it has tools in that skill. And as you go up through your studies, you will learn them, and they'll be present in the learning outcomes of each module.
And what about for level three, where you really need to evaluate? You're perhaps writing longer essays. Mm-hmm. What advice could you give students who might be going to level three, where they are dealing with, you know, both complexity as well as increased length?
Level three, the biggest thing that you'll be demonstrating is that you are becoming an independent learner. And so you will be going out and doing your own research. You will be finding your own examples and your own evidence. You will show a very strong understanding of what you're trying to achieve, of all the basic concepts. But apart from that, you'll be going off on your own trajectory. You will be finding the things that you're interested in.
I asked Georgina Blakely what advice she'd give to students who were thinking about doing something differently next time. What would your one tip be for students who might be thinking about doing essay writing differently next time?
Make sure you read the question. I will never stop saying it. My daughter goes to a tutor, and her company is called RTQ, and it's the most common mistake always.
Read the question. Excellent. Nikki Harlow, thank you so much for your advice.
Thank you.
Well, that is all we have time for in this edition. I hope you've enjoyed it. Let us know your thoughts, and if you have some news or something you'd like to be interviewed about, particularly if you're a student, please email podmag@open.ac.uk. The next edition will be out in early October. Bye for now.